Yeah, another awesome Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg?
Yeah, baby. And Green Diva Lynn.
That would be Green Diva Lynn. And you know what? I'm ready to go to Hawaii. How about
I
you,
I know.
Lynn?
I'm thinking that, too.
And you know, we have been getting some action on our funding site, fundggd.com, for GDGD Radio.
Yes, we have, because we do have a couple of perks that are available, and one of them is 6 nights at the Kalani, which is a wonderful retreat center that we went to when we were on Hawaii Island.
Oh, and wouldn't you, I mean, we complained a little bit because they were having this heat.
Right about now, I would take that heat. And
right?
We said that when we were there.
I know.
Just remember this in the winter.
I know. So, I mean, there's so many wonderful green perks. I know I have lots of totes and t-shirts and cool stuff, and we really, really shamelessly have to ask for your help. And you know what? There's no shame. We're doing a lot of fun stuff here, and we know you want to be part of it. So we're asking you to just consider even $10, although $5,000 would be fine. Hundreds,
that
whatever.
Would help. That would definitely help. And we're independent green media, so
yeah, we need your help.
We need you guys more than anything.
And really, if everybody just said, hey, all right, I love these Green Divas, I'm doing $10, it would make a difference.
Yes, it would.
Make a big difference
to us.
So anyway. Thank you, thank you, thank you, especially to those that are already given and already listening and our fans out there. Keep giving, keep showing up, and let's move on with this awesome show.
Right on.
All right, so we did a feature this week with the beautiful Kenria Rankin-Nassal, who has, what is it, Black Green Mommy.
Black and Green Mama.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. She's fascinating, and it was a really interesting discussion about there are racial issues regarding green living or their perceptions about race. And so, you know, it was an interesting discussion, and I really hope everybody pays attention and listens. And then what else are we doing, Lynn? We talked to...
We have Jeff.
Our green dude, Jeff.
Sustain a blog.
Yes, one of our favorite green dudes, Jeff McIntyre Strasburg.
He did a DIY segment, right, about pallets, using pallets.
I think he's the first dude that's done a DIY segment. I love this guy.
You'd think there'd be more green dudes doing DIY segments.
I know, honestly, and he's got some really interesting ideas. So looking forward to that, and you'll want to pay attention to that one. What else? We got Beth Greer, who's Supernatural Mom.
Yes, and she talked about phthalates, which are something to watch out for. They're in hundreds of plastic products.
Well, yeah.
Including prepackaged foods in the markets and fragrances and things
please.
Like laundry detergents. She talked all about that, and it's just something that can be affecting our kids' brains.
Yeah, pregnant
Not
women.
Not to mention our own.
Yeah, right. Well, my brain's already too far gone.
Yeah, mine's already in trouble.
But there might be hope for, you know, children and stuff.
Right. There's still time.
There's still time. And then we got, speaking of Hawaii, we spoke to Scott Layback, who's at Kalani.
Right. Did we meet him when we were there?
You know, I don't think we did. I think he was not on the island that particular week, which is kind of ironic and weird.
Right.
But they're doing this new program, two for 200 by 2020, and it has to do with food and creating a totally sustainable environment where they can grow and grow food and feed 200 people for 2 years.
Wow.
By 2020, which I think is a fascinating concept, and I like that they're working towards that because, you know, it just seems like if you lived in Hawaii, it would be possible.
Not possible here?
Might be challenging in the winter. I mean, people did
it. Well, that's true.
People did it, obviously. I mean, you know, before refrigerators and grocery stores. People
managed. Well, I can't wait to listen.
Of course, the life expectancy was probably not great, but we also have a foodie file, speaking of winter, with Diana Rice talking about some winter hearty foods, some vegetarian, meatless winter hearty foods. She's with Meatless Mondays.
I think I need to have some of that tonight. It's so cold here.
And then Meyer 360, what are we talking about? I know there were two topics that we were going back and forth on. What are we talking about today?
We're
going
to be talking about fashion and its impact on the forests.
Yes. So this is on
the dirty secret of the fashion industry.
On the heels of, you know, Fashion Week here in New York. And we got to mention our fabulous sponsor, buygreen.com, the most trusted source for green products, whether it's home, office, garden. And you can go to thegreendivas.com/marketplace. And you'll find them right at the top, right?
It's another thing that helps keep the lights on.
Do it, people. And enjoy the rest of the show. There's great stuff coming. Stay tuned. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and borne by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the earth. It's not just my earth, it's our earth, and together we can make a difference. And another awesome My Earth 360 with the fabulous green diva, Lynn Hasselberger.
I'm taking a bow.
The crowd cheered.
Well, maybe I should be walking down the runway.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Oh, you're so good. So clever.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, because we're going to be talking about the fashion industry and their dirty secret.
Dirty little secrets of the fashion industry.
Deforestation. The fashion industry contributes to deforestation in kind of a big way.
Yeah, right.
To make these, and I guess I try to go organic, or I don't buy a lot of clothes, so, you know, that's helpful. But anyway, to make some popular products like rayon and viscose, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
They're cutting down forests. And they're doing that to make way for these monocrop tree plantations that there was just this incredible toxic process that takes place. They cut these trees down. They create this pulp, which is then spun into thread and woven into cloth. And trees, I didn't even know that clothes could have trees in them. I feel kind of ignorant because I didn't really...
That's why
give that much thought before.
See, that's why we do what we do. We're always learning here, Melinda.
Yeah, I guess we can't know everything.
No.
So the Rainforest Action Network has a campaign to try to stop this forest destruction because we need the forest for a lot of reasons, not just because we like trees, but because they're home to critically endangered species.
And aren't
they provide
really,
livelihoods for indigenous communities?
And aren't they sort of the lungs of the planet? Like they help clean up stuff?
They're a key part of our defense against climate change. But, you know, they're the lungs of the earth.
Yeah.
They're our lungs, basically.
Yeah.
Well, they're not really our lungs. But but anyway, there's a post that's going to be going up this week. And it will have a video from Rainforest Action Network as well as a call to action. So you can add your name to the campaign that you want to protect the forests.
Wow.
It also lists out some of the brands that they're trying to
call out the ones
change with.
that are making a difference and paying attention. And it's not easy from what I've learned about the fashion industry, it's tough to make the change because, you know, things have been done a certain way in manufacturing.
Well, and, you know, then people are going to buy less clothes because they become less affordable sometimes.
Yeah.
They have to change their practices, but...
Well, and I think, you know, this is... We're talking about this, like, the week after Fashion Week in New York here, and I know that there's more and more eco and... sustainable fashion every year. Every year it becomes, I get invited to more and more events, even though I didn't go to any, and I did get invited to some in London this week, but I didn't go.
Maybe we can go next year.
Next year we go. And we'll offset the plane ride, right?
Yes, we will.
So, you know, I mean, do things like consign, get creative. And I feel like buying more, how do I put it? Like buying clothes that are better made, mm-hmm. even if they cost a little bit more.
Right.
Because they're going to last a little longer.
Exactly.
And I'm willing to spend an extra couple of bucks to buy organic cotton for a lot of reasons.
Or just stick to, like, what my uniform is. Which is either pajamas by day if I'm working from home, then you don't need fashion, or stick to a uniform like jeans and t-shirt and make them sustainable. Just kind of swap out, get a Green Divas t-shirt.
I was just about to say, you could get a Green Divas t-shirt.
Those are eco-friendly.
Yeah, they're organic.
Right on.
All right, folks. Well, thank you, Lynn, for another great My Earth 360 report.
Thanks for listening.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com and myearth360.com. Wait! Don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life, or just get creative with easy-peasy Green Diva DIY projects. All right, we're on again with one of our favorite green dudes, Jeff McIntyre Strasburg, the founder and editor of sustainablog.org. And, we're going to start doing sort of a series with him on upcycling and projects that involve stuff that we're rescuing from landfills or keeping from going to landfills. Right, Jeff?
Yes, exactly. We can just keep them from getting there. That's where we want to be.
You know, give something an extra life.
And save yourself some money in lots of cases. You know, these are perfectly valuable materials that are going to waste.
Well, I think there's a lot of people exercising their creative side in finding ways to use things.
There's just, you've got all sorts of blank canvases, so to speak.
Well, and speaking of that, like palettes, okay? Because I think that's what we're going to talk about today. If you go to Pinterest and just search palettes.
you're going to find
like
tons and tons.
Thousands and thousands of projects. But can I just throw out first, and you will clarify for me, that don't we have to be a little careful about the palettes we use for certain projects?
You do, because all pallet wood is treated wood. Some of it is treated. I mean, the name of the chemical is not coming to mind, but there is a chemical treatment that's used fairly frequently. You want to avoid that. You want to look for what are called heat-treated pallets. And if you go to a post I've got on Sustainablog, I've got a link that shows you how to determine that. There is an actual seal that you look for on pallets that will tell you, okay, this is heat-treated versus chemically treated.
Right, because I think a lot of pallets are coming overseas or whatever, and they have to spray them for insects and all kinds. I mean, there's a variety of reasons why they end up treated.
The other thing, I mean, as much as you possibly can, you want to get a sense of what has been shipped on those too, because again, if it's a liquid of some kind in a barrel or so, it may have spilled out onto it or so forth. Whereas I one of the things I do in my spare time is I walk dogs at the Humane Society, and then I always notice when I'm there that they have pallets of stuff around because they're bringing in tons of. Food and litter and that kind of thing for the animals and so forth. And all that kind of stuff, that's fine. Even if the cat litter spills on it, so be it.
Right. Now, first of all, I just have to say, take a moment to say thank you for volunteering to help those animals.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to do.
What a great idea.
You don't get any kind of appreciation like you get from a wing full of dogs waiting for a walk.
Aw.
They're just thrilled to see you.
So now with pallets, there's furniture, and then you can make plant. I have a couple of ready to go for planters, but I'm going to line them with some kind of that black cloth or something.
Landscaping cloth.
Thank you. Yeah. So tell me what were some of the ideas that you're that are fairly easy that we can look for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when it, you know, and a couple of weeks ago, I did a post where I went looking, and lots of places online you'll find pictures of things.
Yeah.
But not necessarily instructions on how to make them.
Right.
So I limited myself to, okay, here are actual project plans that you can find some pallet wood and use these instructions to build. So things like, you know, outdoor furniture, of course, that there's lots of options.
Yeah.
Adirondack chairs was one thing, various types of tables and so forth. You can get a real nice look going out on your patio with some pallets, some elbow grease, and maybe some outdoor fabric.
And I guess you probably, I mean, some pallets are just full of, they're just splinters waiting to get into your hands.
Yeah,
I mean,
you definitely want to have some sandpaper on hand. I mean, it is, you know, it's rougher wood. But at the same time, it's by and large perfectly
usable
wood. And it's the biggest source of wood that goes into the trash and landfills. Many years ago, I worked a labor type job where, you know, that's one of the things we did. You know, we went out back to the dumpster and then tore up pallets, you know, and threw them away. And at that point, I was just like, okay, that's what we do. But I think back, you know, a lot of wood just went to waste.
The pallet bonfire.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that people do with them quite a bit.
So I am, like, you know, drooling here because I'm sure you'll share a post with us with sort of the best of. The best way that you do, you curate so well, and give our readers some ideas with projects. Like, this is how you do this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And there's just lots. I mean, like I said, outdoor furniture jumped out. But, I mean, I've got a couple of bar plans I found. So, you know, you want to create an entertainment space in the house. The basic computer desk, that kind of thing. I mean, there's just all sorts of things you can do with this pallet wood. And I've even found one source that kind of shows you the best way to take them apart.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not always the best wood.
Right.
Lots of times you try the pry bar and then so forth, you're going to break boards. So there's better ways to do it.
Okay. So, see, here you heard it here. And I bet you don't really have to be like a master carpenter to deal with this stuff. Like, pretty much anybody.
I don't think so. I'll be honest. At this point, this is all theory for me. But I want to try some of this stuff. And I do feel comfortable not being a master carpenter.
Yeah. We've been collecting for this vertical garden concept. And I got this year it's going to happen. I'm going to take pictures and send them to you.
I've seen a number of cool plans for things like that. So, yeah, take some pictures. I want to see that when you're done with it.
Thanks again, Jeff, and I look forward to hearing about more fun projects with you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to sharing them with you, Meg.
To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva Foodie File.
All right, another wonderful Foodie File with our favorite foodie from Meatless Monday, Diana Rice, who's the registered dietitian of the Meatless Monday campaign. Hi, Diana.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so we're talking about, like, in the winter, you know, a lot of people feel like they have to eat a lot of meat and roasted meat kind of things in the winter. And so you're going to talk to us a bit about, like, meatless winter food.
Yeah, just like, keeping it meatless or going meatless Monday in the dead of winter when, I know for me, my farmer's market runs June through December. So, you know, I'm good. I'm set through December. And then, you know, January rolls around, and the first time I pass the little town square where the farmer's market usually is and it's not there, I'm like, what do I do?
Right. Where's my fresh local food?
And it's so easy. And there's something to be said for, like, winter stews versus summer salads, but it's just so easy in the winter to just, I'm an omnivore, and it's to grill a piece of fish or chicken. and, you know, call it dinner and like, wait a minute, no, where are my vegetables?
Yeah.
And especially for, you know, your Meatless Monday meals or any meatless meals, you know, how can we keep it diverse and healthy and, you know, basically how can we tide ourselves over until summer rolls around again and we're back in that bountiful produce season?
Right.
So we've got a few tips for you.
Okay, good.
So my first tip is to just keep in mind, as I'm sure anyone is for any meatless meal, that your protein sources are pretty universally seasonal. You know, I'm just talking about whether it's beans or tofu. Those are things that you can find year-round. I mean, of course, with beans, it's great. You can just, you know, keep them dry in the house and cook them up. You know, tofu is not hard to find in any grocery store. So with the idea that that's the foundation of your meal, you know, don't despair. You've got that.
Right.
And it's really what are you going to build around those items that is going to round out the meal and have those veggies in it.
Right.
And then my second tip to you, and I say this so often, I think I tire myself out with it, frozen vegetables are totally fine. Like, I want you to say it with me. Frozen vegetables are totally healthy and
frozen
fine.
Frozen vegetables are really okay.
Yes, they're totally fine. Now, it does take a tiny bit of navigating the grocery store aisle, just in that you want the frozen veggies with nothing else in them. The ingredients should say, ingredients, broccoli.
Right.
That's it. Like, you know, not cream sauce, not anything.
Right.
Those things are available, but what you really want for your own home cooking is the plain options. And I would say the majority of the options in the frozen aisle are options like that. Or these veggie blends, you know, it could be cauliflower, broccoli, and carrots. You know, that's perfectly fine. As long
as
there's nothing else in there, no modifiers.
Right.
So, you know, keep those on hand. Certain vegetables freeze better than others. You know, you might have, maybe you don't like frozen green beans, but you do like frozen broccoli. Whatever your preference is, keep them on hand. And don't be afraid of the frozen vegetable aisle.
Well, it's one, like, between frozen and canned, frozen is definitely much healthier, right?
I personally tend to go with frozen over canned, just because with canned, they do, the processors do need to add sodium to the vegetables just for preservation reasons. And sometimes you can take care of that by rinsing them before you cook with them, but I just like to control exactly how much sodium is in my food. And also, you know, they're just sometimes they're a little mushier or something. Like,
right.
I find that freezing preserves the texture a little better, but to each his own.
Okay.
You know, if someone prefers the canned green beans and maybe you have a low sodium version, if that works for you, that's totally fine too.
Yeah. Cool.
And with I personally make an exception for beans, just because canned beans are so easy.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
And you're gonna add a little bit of salt to them anyway. So.
Yeah.
The low sodium kind. But another option for people who want to maybe venture out of the frozen food aisle at the grocery store is a winter CSA.
Yeah,
a lot of summer CSAs offer this option to their members, and it can take a lot of different forms. Sometimes it's they are storing the potatoes and other root vegetables for you.
Onions,
in a very controlled environment. So those can actually stay fresh, you know, for a couple of months in the right conditions. So you might get a delivery of those every couple of weeks or pick up, and then sometimes it's frozen vegetables that the farm themselves has produced and frozen for you. So same concept, but a little more local, if that's what you're looking
for.
I like that.
And you know, at the end of the season, I always think I'm going to run down to the farmer's market, and this will be the weekend I'm going to gather up all this stuff, and I'm going to freeze and preserve it, and I rarely do it.
That is actually one of my other tips. It is, and you know, it's not going to help anyone out maybe this month, but you know, in preparation for next year, maybe if you start thinking about it now, you'll actually do it. I don't know.
I'll get inspired.
But, you know, if you really prefer for your vegetables to be locally grown, or actually if you prefer, you know, I do this with collard greens because my husband really, he's from the South, he really loves collard greens, and I haven't found a frozen option that I like quite as much as just buying you can get like a big old collard green bunch for, I think at my market, it's about $2. And I'll just take some time to fill up the sink with cold water, rinse it off, blanch it real quick in some hot boiling water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll put it into individual packets, like Ziploc bags, and, you know, I've got frozen collard greens for the rest of the winter, you know, and that's, you know, that's another personal decision because you got to have the freezer space for it or what have you. But if there's something that you can't typically find frozen, another one that I do is poblano peppers.
Oh.
I love those in stir fries. Yeah, you don't see
them
frozen.
Oh, what a good idea.
Whatever. So just, you know, think about what you particularly like, and maybe if you've got limited freezer space, you know, just do one or two options that are more important to you.
I think that's a great idea, and now I'm inspired, and so this year I swear I'm going to actually – I've done it before in the past, but this year I'm going to
do it.
And I grew a bunch of peppers, and it never occurred to me I could have frozen them.
You know what? Canning is so popular
people
feel like you gotta do the canning thing, but I say if you've got the freezer space, it's actually a little bit easier to just sort of, you know, put them in whatever container you have available and not worry about, like, the microbes and all that other stuff.
I'm totally with you. Well, another fabulous foodie file with Diana Rice. And I know that you will post something with us with some fun recipes and tips that you've suggested. It's great.
Yep, we've got some great recipes of winter vegetables.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you so much, Diana.
It's my pleasure.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
It's been worshipped as Gaia, the goddess or personification of Earth in ancient Greek religion. And the word Earth, when traced back, simply means ground. More about that after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
There are 8 planets in our solar system. The names for all of them, except Earth, are derived from Roman and Greek mythology. If the world were to become totally flat, and the oceans distributed themselves evenly over the Earth's surface, the water would be approximately 2 miles deep at every point. The temperature of the Earth's interior increases 1 degree for every 60 feet toward the core, where it's a blazing 9,000 degrees. Earth travels through space at an astounding 660,000 miles per hour. But the most amazing fact about Gaia is that it's the only planet that supports life that we know of. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
Vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle.
All right. Well, who doesn't love a supernatural mom? And Beth Greer is an author and, of course, a supernatural mom. She's written a book called Supernatural Home. And, of course, she has a website, supernaturalmom.com. Hi, Beth.
Hi there.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been too long.
Yes, it's good to talk to you. I know the last time we tried to get together, there was a big storm on the East Coast. So.
Yeah, and our schedule just keeps shifting around a bit. But, hey, you know, we're flexible green divas.
Right.
So you got a pretty intense topic today, which I think we all need to hear more about, and that's some recent studies have been done about phthalates and the effects on IQ, and I'll let you talk about the study and what you're discerning from it.
Okay. Yeah. Like most of us know that plastic's bad for the environment, but there's a group of chemicals that you mentioned called phthalates, and they're not listed on any label. You won't see them on a label. That's just kind of disturbing too, but they're impacting our health and the brains of our children. So they're found in hundreds of plastic products. So they're found in, like, rubber duckies and in beach balls. You know that beach ball smell?
Oh, yeah.
It's found in there. It's found in plastic raincoats, and they're also found in, like, plastic food containers.
Oh, dear.
Even the ones, like, those prepackaged foods, like, even the ones at Whole Foods, I was thinking about that.
That's, yeah. Really?
So, yeah.
Not cool.
So, unless it says, you know, it's made from some sort of a food-grade starchy thing that they're making plastics out of now, but most of the time, they're, you know, the phthalates are in there. And they're also in cosmetics.
Wow.
So, think about, like, your mascara. It keeps the mascara from running.
Huh.
And it's like in those waterproof mascaras. It's found in nail polish. So it keeps the nail polish from chipping.
Oh, dear.
It's also in hairspray. And also, this is the big one, the phthalates act as a carrier for fragrances.
Oh, interesting.
So in our soaps and in our shampoos and in our perfumes, you know. Like, have you ever been in an elevator and somebody walks in with perfume, and then when they leave, the fragrance stays behind?
Yes.
That's from the phthalates.
Oh, that's not cool. That's just really not okay. And what are the reports? What are the effects on phthalates in our system? Does it stay in our bodies?
Yeah, well, they did a study just recently. It was published in December of 2014. And it was a team from Columbia University, and they tracked over 300 New York City women, and they took urine samples during the third trimester of the pregnancy, and they were looking for traces of five different kinds of phthalates. And nearly all of the samples contained them, right?
Uh-oh.
And then they divided the women into four groups, ranging from the lowest to the highest phthalate readings. And then they gave their kids, you know, these are pregnant women, right? So now the kids, this is like 7 years later, they gave the kids IQ tests, and they controlled for socioeconomic and lifestyle factors.
Right.
And they found that the ones exposed to the highest levels of phthalates, that the kids, you know, that were, when they were in the womb,
right,
that their IQ scores were 6 points lower than the children exposed at the lowest level.
Well, that's fairly significant, isn't it?
It is significant. 6 points is a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's a recent study, but there have been tons of studies. You know, when I was writing my book and researching this, they say that phthalates were linked to allergies and asthma in kids. There's a higher incidence of asthma, and it lowers sperm count. You know, it's bad.
It's just bad. There's nothing good except that I guess you can make a smell stay longer, and that's just not enough reason.
You know. I'm always suspect. I don't want my scents to stay longer. So,
And,
you know, pay attention to, like, laundry detergents and fabric softeners, those kinds of things, dryer sheets, all the stuff that has those fragrances.
And it's funny because I know that I've seen phthalates, I think, in, like, shampoo listed in the ingredients, in not the shampoo I use, thankfully, but, you know, I've seen the ingredient.
It won't say phthalate on the label.
It won't?
It's not required.
Oh.
And
so, of course, they're not going to say it.
Right? But if you see the word parfum, let's say, or perfume, you could be sure that has phthalates in there.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm just having some kind of, I just swear I saw it on an ingredient list, but maybe it's some other thing I can't really pronounce.
Right. That's very, very possible. There's so much stuff on there that is unpronounceable.
Well, okay, so this is actually, you know, it's good to know. We need to know these things. So there's like a thousand reasons why plastic, it's not just BPA. And that's the thing.
Right.
Everybody's like, ooh, well, at least now we can buy BPA-free sippy cups. And I'm like, yeah, but what other stuff's in there, man?
No, well, let me just stop you right there. Because here's the thing. They're substituting BPA for something called BPS.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Just as bad.
Yeah.
Just as bad. It messes with our hormones.
Yeah.
So just because you see BPA-free sippy cups or bottles, no. Don't buy it.
Yeah. I'm going with glass as much as possible in most cases for food.
Right.
Food and fluid.
Or stainless steel is good.
Yep.
Right? So this is what I tell people. Use glass or stainless steel metal, you know, containers instead of plastic when you're storing food and that sort of thing. And also just try to see if you can start avoiding some of the fragrances that we're using so frequently, you know, not just the perfume, but like the shampoo, the conditioner, the all that stuff.
Now, would you say that some of the more reputable natural product companies that might even say organic or natural, would they have phthalates in them if they're scented?
You know, if they're USDA organic, I don't think that they will.
Okay.
I think you're pretty much safe with that.
Yeah.
But a good thing to look at on the label is if it says made with 100% essential oils.
Okay.
Essential oils don't contain synthetic fragrances.
Okay.
So just think about the word fragrance on the label can mean up to 100 different chemicals just in that one word, in addition to the phthalates. So.
And they're not very well regulated when it comes to cosmetics or, beauty care products.
Not at all. And they're not well tested either. They're just starting to do these tests. So we are really guinea pigs.
Yeah, it's not a good thought.
So, no. But there's hope because we can choose to avoid them. And
yes.
So you can be safe. And especially if you're thinking of being pregnant or are pregnant, now's the time to kind of pay attention to what you're putting on your skin and exposing yourself to. So.
Right on. Well, great work. Thank you for letting us know about this. And folks should go to supernaturalmom.com, find out more of what Beth is up to, and I'm sure she'll share a post with us on this one.
I will.
And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Good to talk to you.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy, green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Aw, I heavy sigh. We're going to talk to Scott Layback, who is the permaculture manager at Kalani... I can't even read my handwriting, which is where Lynn and I had gone, I think in September. And I'm just sitting here in this freezing, snowy, ice pack here thinking, oh, it was so nice there. Hi, Scott.
Hey there. How you doing, Meg?
And so you guys have some cool special program coming up, a project involving food, which, we all love.
Absolutely. We are calling this our 2 for 200 by 2020 program.
Okay.
And we are attempting to create 2 years of sustainability on our campus here at Kalani for 200 people by the year 2020. It's a very bold goal. Realistically, we're looking at it more as a driver for ourselves to get moving in that direction.
Right.
And putting out something really big to move us as close as possible to that goal.
So describe what this really means, the 2 for 200 by 2020.
It's a broad goal. So, again, it may not be attainable because we're looking at energy.
Yep.
And we're also looking at food needs. And when you look at sustainability, there's a lot of other needs that we may not be able to necessarily provide within 5 years when you look at housing or clothing or these things.
So, okay.
My department is mostly focused on food because there's an exceptional array of crops that grow in the tropics, especially.
Yeah.
And we absolutely have the ability in this environment, for sure, in a small space, to feed a very large amount of people in a very low-impact sort of way.
Well, yeah, and especially if you're primarily vegan or vegetarian and there isn't a lot of meat involved, right?
Absolutely. The meat production is a whole other... box that we don't necessarily want to get into in the short term, because there's a lot of legalities around meat production and what you can actually serve in a commercial kitchen and things like that.
So you're overall
so when
the you're
whole looking at a vegetarian diet,
right?
It's way easier to do something like that.
And so the whole project is all about being self-sustaining. In other words, you're creating your own energy, creating as much of these other aspects of life that you can, right?
Absolutely. It's about sovereignty. It's about food security. It's about personal responsibility and a connection to those things that enable you to have a life of abundance on this planet. And it's about also reprioritizing what we're going after, you know,
yeah.
Instead of necessarily going after constructing big, amazing buildings, we feel here that our happiness and our health is based on the food and the human relations that we have.
Right, right. You don't need a big fancy car and a big, you know, house or whatever. It's more about the community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that having been there, that there is a sense of, and I do personally long for that type of lifestyle where we are living in harmony with whatever our environment is. Here in New Jersey, it's a little bit tougher to imagine. That it's a lofty and wonderful goal. I like it. So
absolutely.
So for 200 people, so basically you want to be able to sustain and support a community of 200 people by 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're looking at is our staff that lives on site and the guests that are coming through, so we can provide for all those groups of people in a fashion that is as sustainable as possible and as a model for the rest of the world as to how do we move in this direction.
Right. And now how many staff live there most of the time?
Currently, we have about 147 resident staffers.
Wow. So at any given time, you have 50 or so guests?
Between 50 and 100 guests.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I have to be a guest again.
It's a beautiful experience.
It really is. Now, I just have to ask, because you're near Pahoa and the lava. I know that last time I talked to anybody down there, it was not heading anywhere near Kalani. Is that still correct?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. It's just stalled out next to the highway, and it is yet again another unpredictable force of nature that, although it's close, it could just skim right by us or by the town of Pahoa, which is about 10 miles away.
Yeah.
And, at this rate, you know, it looks like it may not cut off the other access routes for years and years. It threatened the highway about a month ago for the second time, and then it stopped. And now it's working its way down from up the hill again. And so, as with anything in nature, you know, it's very difficult to predict what that that force is going to do.
Pele's got a mind of her own, man.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's a beautiful lesson in impermanence and perseverance and in change.
Adapting,
ebb
sure.
and flow, life and death.
Well, I so admire the work you're doing there, and I don't know if we met when I was there, but hopefully we'll meet at some point. And in the meantime, I really welcome you. I hopefully we'll get to talk again, and you can update us on how things are going and some of the new things that are happening.
Absolutely. I'd love to have a chance to do that.
Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you, Meg.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, I am extremely happy to finally be talking to Kenria Rankin-Nassell, who is an author. She's a very busy woman. She's a mother. She's an author. She's an editorial consultant. Her latest book is Bet on Black, African-American Women Celebrating, and I dropped off. What's the rest of that tagline?
Sure. It's Bet on Black, African-American Women Celebrate Fatherhood in the Age of Barack Obama. It's a super long title.
I know. But you know what? I guess you called and I was writing it and then I stopped. And I love the title, as a matter of fact. And she's also the, I think you're the founder of blackandgreenmama.com.
Correct.
And she's a parent, she's a writer, and we're lucky to have her for a few minutes here while her daughter is letting us talk.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you know, Our friend Lenata Williams, a woman that we've worked with who has a radio show down in D.C. area, you know, introduced us to you, and I thought, yeah, I really want to speak to this woman.
I'm so glad. She's awesome. And I did her show a few weeks ago, which was also great.
Yeah, well, and she's a busy girl. And so she introduced you to us, and I thought, wow, this is a woman who's doing it all. And there's a different voice than some of the voices we hear through the Green Divas. And, how do I broach this delicately? I don't want, you know, I want to be PC. But there does seem to be a racial divide when it comes to green living. And we have, you know, from time to time been accused of not featuring or focusing enough on people of ethnicity. And I thought, no, that's not on purpose. I know that's not. But maybe you have something to say about that and to help us understand that a bit.
Sure. Well, you know, there are, you know, obviously women and men who are working in the, you know, the space of people of color who are working in the green space. But I do think that oftentimes what I hear when I talk to readers and talk to folks when I do book signings and things is that there are a lot of things that black parents have to think about before they think about the earth.
Right.
You know, parenting while black is a very real thing. There are concerns that we have that other people may not necessarily have when it comes, you know, to our raising our children in this country and the things that we have to worry about. And so thinking about how we relate to the earth doesn't always feel like it's a super high priority. One of the things that I work hard to do with the blog, you know, it's blackandgreenmama.com, but one of the tagline is, you know, the word, we have tips for, you know, parenting kids who love themselves, love the earth, and, you know, can do it all on a budget too. And, you know, what I try to do is make living for the earth also living for yourself.
Yeah.
Which makes it more personal and doesn't feel like another thing to check off of a list.
Well, I think, but it is true. I mean, and I've always kind of been, my theory has always been that you have to really take care of yourself, and it ripples out from there. And if your basic survival instincts or your basic survival needs are not being met,
right.
if you're hungry or you're afraid or you're cold, you know, and you're afraid for your children, whatever those things may be, and whoever you are, wherever you are, you know, it's very hard to be concerned about the trees, you know, or the fish, you know, and the water, what are the oceans?
Yeah,
it's remote to you when you're not feeling secure.
Right. So, you know, what I try to do is what I have heard that people need. You know, I have always been like the hippie of the group when it comes to my friends. I'm, you know, I'm the vegan. I'm the one who chose the cloth diaper. I breastfed my daughter until after she was two. That was my path. But what I've acknowledged is that there are a lot of ways to be a parent. But what I found from other women, both who have already had their kids and those who, you know, kind of saw me starting out with my daughter, I had a lot of friends that said, can you write down what you're doing there? And how did you decide which cloth diapers to use? And what do you use to wash her hair? And instead of having these constant conversations, I was like, you know what? I'm a writer. Let's just put this on a website. And that way, when you want to know, you can go to the site, you can search hair, bam. Everything that I've done, you know, to her hair or put in her hair, or every discussion we've had about self-image as it relates to my daughter's hair, every book that I've given to her to help her love her curls, these things will pop up, and hopefully you can apply them to your life. So, you know, that is a way of getting into the green space. If we're talking about hair products, I use things that, you know, don't have chemicals. I talk about why, you know, fragrance is bad and why, you know, how, not just how it's bad for the earth, but how it's bad for your body.
Right.
And I think that there's something about having children that makes women especially that much more in tune with what they're putting in their bodies because, you know, during pregnancy there are so many things that we're not supposed to take, that we're not supposed to do. And while you may not have ever really given too much thought to those things before you were carrying a life, doing that makes you much more in tune with it. And then you care, you know, you may put whatever you want on your skin, but you're going to think about it a couple of times before you put something on your child. And I think that that is an entry for all parents into caring about the earth.
So would you say that, well, your daughter's only a couple of years old, right?
Yeah, she's three.
So you have been doing this stuff a little bit before you had your daughter, but...
Yeah, my dad's a hippie, so...
All right, dad, go dad.
Yeah.
Because I do find it does commonly occur when people start to have children or think about having children, or they suddenly realize that their child is crawling across the floor and there's all kinds of chemicals on
it. Right, absolutely.
That it's one thing to expose ourselves to some of this stuff. We don't think about it, but you think about it when you're responsible for a small, tiny, vulnerable being.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that is how I'm kind of bridging that gap and helping people, because when you are thinking about keeping your children safe, those are things that come into play.
And
you know, what you're
be.
Putting on them. Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's a universal concept. So it helps to bridge that gap between, you know, folks who may not necessarily have ever thought about that before. And it puts it, you know, it kind of integrates it into their list as opposed to making it another scary bullet point that they have to think about.
Right, right. Well, I know that it used to be sort of this myth, and maybe it's still out there, that being green was expensive and it was elite and only, you know, only upper middle class people could really be green. And it's just not true anymore. And in fact, what I have found for me is that so many of the things that I practice that might be considered green are really less expensive. I save a lot of money.
In the long run, I do think that's true. Like even, you know, to go back to the cloth diaper example, you know, I couldn't see buying disposable diapers. You know, one, it's a budget drain, of course.
Yeah.
You're having to do it all the time. But also, you know, it didn't sit well with me to be putting all of that into landfills. But, you know, when people looked at me and said, oh, that's kind of crazy, you're washing poop diapers. Yeah, I'm washing poop diapers every other day. But you know what? I'm using the machine. I'm using, you know, detergent that doesn't have chemicals and dyes in it.
Right.
I'm, you know, using the coolest water setting that I can. You know, I'm doing everything that I can to lessen the impact that I'm having on the earth while doing it. But I'm also keeping money in my pocket. I have to put out, you know, a little bit of money up front to build up my stash. But after that, they last forever, and I'll have them when I have my next child. I won't have to start over with amassing them. I'll have a stash already built, and all I have to do is worry about washing them. It works for me.
Oh, yeah, it does, and that's just one of so many different things, whether it's food and growing. You know, even in an urban setting, you can grow herbs. And there's community gardens, and there's a variety of ways that you know, we can save money and be a little greener. And I think so much of it is just awareness.
Mm-hmm. And folks know that those things exist. Because you're right. I think a lot of times we don't know. Like, I wrote a story about container gardens. I don't think most people realize that it really doesn't take much space to grow the things that you use most often right on your windowsill. And you really can't do that. Or in a very small 3x3 plot in your backyard, you can, you know, produce some of the things that you eat most often and save yourself some money and know where your food is coming from.
Yeah, and you can grow much more than you think in containers. I mean, you can grow potatoes. You can even do carrots. You can, you know, kale. I had like an endless supply of kale from like a 1x3 box, you know.
Right. It really doesn't take much. But, you know, it's like you said, it's access and knowing that these things are out there and that it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess a lot of the folks that may be in situations that where they are not feeling secure in many ways, you know, it's about getting some hope that that not only can your needs get met. And I don't know. I feel like so much of what we talk about, some of it's just real tangible green things. You're recycling, you're, you know, whatever, doing DIY things, upcycling. But I think there's something to be said about community and about being more mindful of your local community and what's going on in your community and how can you be helpful.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, as it relates to, you know, the green living. And also, you know, one of the things that I do a lot about is about justice work and how you can make the community a better place for not just for your kids, but for everyone in your community as well. And to me, all of those things go hand in hand.
Well, if our communities aren't sustainable, then, you know,
right.
I think that has to be part of the equation as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And so now, what else? Now, your latest book is this one about that I Bet on Black.
Yes.
And I love the concept. Can you just give us like a real quick synopsis of the book?
Sure. So it is a collection. It's an anthology of essays with women writing about the positive relationships they have with black dads. You know, I grew up raised by a single dad, and it's not really something that you hear about very often, single dads, period. And,
right.
You know, sometimes when it comes to black men, you know, I think that there are a lot of pervasive stereotypes out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing that I knew for sure was that the stereotype wasn't everything, because that was, you know, the opposite of my experience, not just in my own home, but in my family in general.
Right.
And I knew that there had to be other women out there who, you know, have that same kind of, not necessarily single dads, but dads who are very strong presence in their lives,
right.
You know, at various points. And so, you know, I was inspired by my own father. And also when President Obama was still Senator Obama and ran for election the first time, I interviewed him. And, you know, he spoke so eloquently about how he could give his kids a foundation that no one else could give, not even their mother. And I do believe that to be true. You know, I think it's called parenting for a reason. It takes everyone to, you know, to raise kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, the combination of his influence and my own dad's kind of spurred me to, you know, find other women and put them together into what I hope is a powerful work. And it's, you know, it's done pretty well. It's been out for about a year.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just still like, wow, you knew him when?
He was running for president, so he was, you know, he was a big deal already.
Yeah.
But I, you know, was working as an editor at Latina Magazine, and we were doing an election special. And I had the, you know, the honor and the privilege of interviewing him for Latina, and we spoke about that. And he, you know, he'd been giving speeches. He's given some pretty famous speeches on Father's Day when he talks about how important that is to him. And, you know, it resonated with me.
So you're busy myth busting all over the place.
I'm trying.
And I think it's wonderful, and I really hope we'll be able to talk again and, you know, maybe even have you on a semi-regular basis to talk about, because you have some really practical ideas that are helpful to anyone. And
I'd love that.
I appreciate your time and all the work you're doing. So thank you so much, Kenria.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a great time.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.